112 to 109 with 28, 29 seconds left. I mean, you technically could play defense and say, look, we get a stop. We're going to have about 4 or 5 seconds to heave up a shot. Either way, that's the last place the Cavs want to be at that moment in a three-point game when they look up and say, holy cow, this was 24. How is it down to three? And we had this conversation, or I should say I had this conversation quite a bit. I remember 2 years ago, 3 years ago, actually, 3 years ago. Let's go back even further on Bucks Talk. Way back in the day on Bucks Talk, the OG edition of Bucks Talk, back when it was referred to as Bucks and One. And my guy Kyle Wallace was there with me side by side as the producer. And we had this conversation all throughout the season. 48 minutes. You would hear all these coaches, you got to play 48 minutes. And I remember it was the big storyline for that season. The year that the Bucks unfortunately saw the season ending in a bubble and in a COVID-shortened year. But the year the Bucks started out on pace to win 73 games, you would hear all these coaches say, you got to play for 48 minutes. And Bud would say, yeah, 48 minutes. And the more you saw the Bucks that year, the more you realize, like, oh, this team has to play for 48 minutes. Not the Bucks. The opponent has to play 48 minutes of pretty good basketball, because if you don't and you play 44 minutes, you're leaving the door open. And this team is too good. They'll go through the door. They'll win the game. That's what we almost saw tonight. The Cavs played 45 minutes, and then they probably started looking at the watch, like, oh, this is, we're good. And that's when it got to 9, and then 8, and then it's down to 6, and then holy cow, they can make it a one-possession game. So the adage remains true. You gotta play 48 minutes to beat this team, or at least very, very close to it. The Cavs probably played, what, 46 minutes tonight? And that was just enough to win it.
They played 3 3/4 of a quarter really well.
Well, 45 is close. I'll round it up to 46. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I promised Marjon Beauchamp, we got to give him his flowers. We will do that next on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
If you need a place.
114-106 is the final score in Cleveland. The Cavaliers behind 3 3/4 of a quarter. Strong play. Take down the Bucks. And now we're just a game out of the top spot in basketball. So you got the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Cavs atop the Eastern Conference standing, separated by just one game. Don't look now. Brooklyn Nets are 2.5 games out of first. Like, I think everybody knows my thoughts on the Brooklyn Nets. Now, look, I'll say this. I was maybe the only person I remember in terms of in this area, certainly not in the national landscape, not there yet, but the only talking head in this region that I can recall hearing say, are we sure the Brooklyn Nets are going to be terrible? And the way the season started, I basically dug a hole in the sand and crawled in it and said, man, was I way off. But yet here we are. I'm not going to count out a team with Kevin Durant. Now, do I think the Brooklyn Nets are title contenders? No. Could they win a first-round series? Sure. Could they win a second-round series? Depends on the matchup. You might be able to talk me into it. They're not going to beat the Bucks or the Celtics. Like if everything breaks their way and it becomes a weird year, then all right, I'm listening. But my main point was, look, as long as they have Kevin Durant, they have a very good chance to, if nothing else, be good. Not great, not elite, but good. If Kyrie Irving is decent, they got a decent chance to be even better. If Ben Simmons can play defense and can stay healthy, well, now you're cooking with gas. And this is the propane version of the Brooklyn Nets. They have been incredible the last month. It's really since the week of Thanksgiving. They've lost just 3 games. And I ran through the opponents on the radio network. Those teams that they've lost to have been pretty good teams. Some of those teams they've beaten haven't been great, and they've played some good teams without their best players, but you can only play who's on the schedule in front of you, and they've won those games. So all of a sudden, that goes from being, well, the Bucks are going to win in Brooklyn, and then they get ready for the Celtics, too. Who knows? And if the Brooklyn Nets win on Friday, then all of a sudden the Nets are a game and a half back of the Bucks. And you potentially have 1 through 4 separated by a game and a half. Eastern Conference remains very fascinating because despite all this, I think we all still feel the Bucks and the Celtics are on a different plane than the rest of the conference. Cavaliers, you saw tonight, man, that team reminds me a lot of the Bucks in like 2018. Really good. Starting to figure some things out. It feels like you don't have quite enough seasoning yet. But I'm really intrigued by that game on Friday night now. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us. So Friday in Brooklyn against the Nets. Big Christmas Day showdown against the Celtics on Sunday. And then you finally get extended time off. By extended, I mean 2 days. Fly back home Christmas night, and then you don't play again until the 28th. Take a bus to Chicago. So finally, you can see the end on the horizon of this long, long, month-long, what it feels like, road trip for the Bucks. Again, 855-616-1620, the number to join us on either of the Milwaukee stations or our friends listening in Madison as well. You can join us on that number. When we return, it is time. Some shows hand out roses. We hand out full bouquets. It's time to give a couple of these to our guy, Marjon Beauchamp. We'll do it next on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
I've installed and
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher here to tell you about Kohler Services from Kohler Company. Get design advice and professional installation directly from the experts at Kohler, and all backed by the Kohler Guarantee of Care for Life. Now through December 31st, enjoy holiday savings with a free shower door up to $1,000 value included with your Kohler Lugstone shower purchase, and you receive a free gift with your in-home design consultation. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com today to request a free quote.
For details.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
.114-106, the final. The Bucks lose to the Cavs in Cleveland. Giannis, so I said almost half as the cop-up because I didn't have time to pull up the calculator app and figure it all out on the fly while I'm talking. Have you ever tried to send a text while you're speaking?
It's called multitasking. It's hard.
Do it right now. Have a conversation with me and text me something as well.
Okay.
So I can see that it's not gibberish. You got to keep talking, though.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
Tell me what you did earlier today.
Well,
describe the fourth quarter, actually.
The fourth quarter, I thought they came out pretty strong. Okay, it's hard. It's hard. Yeah, yeah. I see.
So didn't have time to figure out the complexities of the formulas that are small number divided by large number, but I said, well, we'll couch it. Almost half the points Giannis scored. 42% of the offense for the Bucks tonight came from Giannis. And actually, that's not entirely true. 42% of the points came from Giannis tonight. He also had 4 assists, and all of those were on 3-pointers. So 54 of the points scored in this game came from Giannis. The Bucks scored 106 points, so Giannis accounted for 51% of the offense for the Bucks tonight. He had 45. Marjon Beauchamp, we'll get to that in a second here, played a nice game. No one else had any impact whatsoever on offense. And yet, despite that, despite 3 3/4 of a quarter of poor play, and for the most part, 3 3/4 of a quarter of good play from the Cavaliers, the Bucks were one shot away from making this very, very interesting and a one-possession game. So Giannis didn't get a whole lot of help. He had 2 other players scoring double figures, but didn't get a whole lot of help offensively from the starters. But we did see another silver lining from the bench that came to us from tonight's sub of the game.
The bench mob was hungry, and someone ate. Who was it? Tonight's sub of the game is...
Pat Connaughton.
Bobs around, feeds it to the corner. Carter feeds to the right wing. Connaughton fires from three, and he knocks it down.
Pat Connaughton, by the way, scored 6% of those Bucks points tonight with six of the 106 points. But all kidding aside, the bench scored just 21 points. Pat Connaughton had six of them. And why Pat Connaughton is the sub of the game, to me, is simple. Two of three on three-pointers. And remember, as soon as he came back, it was, yeah, he's still got to get his legs under him. He's got to find that three-point shot. Don't worry, it's going to take some time. It's starting to come back the last couple of games. And tonight was another indication of that, going two of three from the outside. So for that reason, Pat Connaughton, our sub of the game, scoring 6 points, two rebounds, an assist in 20 minutes of work in an 8-point loss for the Bucks. So he scored six. Bobby scored six. Javon scored six. Leroy scored six. That's what he goes by on Reddit. You know what Reddit is, Tommy?
It's like really extensive Google.
Javon with 6 points. Joe Ingles scored 3 points. Didn't score at all in his season debut in New Orleans. Starting to, can we even call it rust? I mean, there is a little bit of rust, but it's just the overall speed of the game. It's kind of like when you go from, well, I'm not even going to say college to high school, or college to the pros, because most of us can't really relate to that. If you go from like middle school to high school, or you go from high school to playing as a walk-on in college.
From JV to varsity.
Sure.
I think you can only be happy with what you get from Joe because he's a month ahead in everyone's head.
I'm not disappointed with it. It's going to take time for it to be. And look, Joe Ingles is, I don't think anyone expected, nor should you expect, that you're getting huge statistical performances from Joe Ingles. You're probably best case scenario is going to average like 6 points a game. But he's just another guy. He's a bigger wing. It's a guy that can handle the ball, can pass the ball, is a good playmaker, has played through a number of playoff games, been in big moments, has hit some big shots throughout his career. He's just given you another one of those veterans. So that's what you're looking for, and he's got to get back into the game speed and knock some of that rust off, and you're slowly starting to see it get there from Joe Ingles. So 3 points tonight, his first three in a Bucks uniform, but just needed a little more help for Giannis. And we had this conversation with guys like Dick's guy, Jordan. I won't say the full name out of respect to Dick, but like his guy. We'll talk about it some as well with who we're going to get to. We've talked about it with Mamu. Make winning plays without scoring the basketball, right? Probably getting sick of constantly hearing that brought up. We should rename the show Make Winning Plays Without Scoring the Basketball. But it's true, and you saw that from Drew Holiday tonight. Another game where he just did not have it offensively. 3 of 12, 1 of 4 on his threes, still got to 9 points, and 8 assists, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. He just did everything, and he made some big plays. He was the guy that made that steal that made it possible for Joe Ingles to have that look. So Drew Holiday, statistically maybe not, but he definitely had an impact in this game tonight. When we return, we'll finally get to it. We gush over Marjon Beauchamp and what he continues to do, how he continues to impress us, and is it time to reevaluate some things? I know I've been very, very outspoken of, look, I'm not going to expect much from Marjon, and there's a number of guys in front of him in the rotation. I think a lot of us were kind of, well, I'll save it. We'll talk a little more about Marjon and what to expect from him, and has the expectations, have they changed a little bit now with the way he continues to play? Marjon Beauchamp discourse after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
So you have
offering a memory disorder program that's first of its kind in Wisconsin isn't just about innovation. It's about providing thorough diagnoses to improve treatments and help people live better. The Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Neuroscience Institute is a nationally recognized leader in the diagnosis and treatment of complex brain disorders, and will do everything humanly possible to help you keep being you. To see a specialist with the expertise to help you, go to Frederick.com/neuro.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Well, a disappointing loss. Not a disappointing finish, though. The result is disappointing, but what we saw in those final 3 minutes, certainly not disappointing. The Bucks made it close, closer than it should have been, but ultimately falling short to the Cavs in Cleveland, 114-106. If you would have surveyed any of us prior to the 3 minute mark in the fourth quarter, we would probably have something a little bit further back in the game. Maybe it occurred in the opening quarter, but little did we know the turning point of the game would actually occur much later. Tonight's turning point of the game.
The moment it all turned around, for better or worse. This is the turning point of the game.
Way outside, up to Mitchell. This is way downtown, and he banks it in from about 32 feet away. Here's a half-court heave now up to Holiday. Holiday banks it in, almost from the same spot where Mitchell banked one in moments before.
So again, that seemed to somewhat propel the Bucks. It gave them more life. You're making this charge, got it to 16. You think, all right, we can build on this. It was 18 at halftime, not ideal. To only shave two off, it's also not suboptimal, but it's not ideal. And then you get that three-pointer and you think, we lost ground, and then Drew Holiday, an even deeper three. So you're right back to 16. It gave you some life. Took another 9 minutes. But the Bucks kept chipping away and ultimately made this much, much closer than, as we said, much closer than this frankly should have been, because the Cavs played incredibly well for most of that first half, for really most of the first three-plus quarters of the game, and the Bucks were the exact opposite. They did not play that well. Still right back in this at the very, very end. I promise we will talk about Marjon Beauchamp, but to get back to that Pat Connaughton point, in his last three games, he's made six threes, so it's starting to move closer and closer and closer to what we expected to see from Pat. And I think the most deceiving thing, or surprising thing, I should say, about Pat's numbers so far this season is, you know, we've talked a decent amount about, man, the shot just not there yet. Not falling like we've typically seen from Pat Connaughton. The outside shot, that is. Coming into play tonight, hit six games already where he hit multiple threes. Very surprising, right? But in the last three games, Pat Connaughton is 6 of 11 on his threes. So again, small sample size theater here, but it does seem like he's starting to find that stroke, starting to build on that for our boy, Pat Connaughton. So that's a good sign for the Bucks. And of course, as we mentioned, Pat Connaughton, our sub of the game tonight. Now, one player that I'll be curious to see how many times he's the sub of the game when Chris Middleton returns. He is not eligible for that because we've seen two straight games now of Marjon Beauchamp in the starting lineup for the Bucks. And I got to tell you, as much as I almost took the victory lap on the Brooklyn Nets, and still three quarters of a season, well, what, like 55% of a season left, I should say? 60% of a season left? On the Brooklyn Nets in their start, I was very wrong on Marjon Beauchamp. Not that I didn't want success for Marjon. I think we all were very wait and see about the offense. The offense continues to blow me away in how natural he looks, especially that shooting motion. had the 4-of-7 game on threes against the Jazz. This is three straight games where Marjon Beauchamp has knocked down multiple threes. So he was 3-of-5 tonight. He was 2-of-4 against the Pelicans. He was 4-of-7 against the Jazz, as we just mentioned. 9-of-16 in his last three games. The shot looks good. He does not look lost. He knows where to be. He has the athleticism and the length to make up for it any time he's not in the right spot. And, you know, if we go back to that Jazz game, I think you saw a lot in that game. He was a plus 17. And the plus minus is not the best indication of what worked and what didn't, right? But Marjon Beauchamp has had some of these games where the plus minus just jumps off the page. You think back to the stretch where he was really starting to get used a lot more. He had the big breakout game against the T-Wolves, and then a night two of a back-to-back, he gets the start. Only made one field goal in that game against the Thunder. But he was a plus 12, and the Bucks won by 14. He had to play extensively against the Spurs. He got another start against the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road, where the Bucks basically had no one. He was a plus 14 in that game, and the Bucks won by 4. And that's where the offense started to take off. That's when he knocked down 5 threes, which at the time was a career high. What he's done the last few games, plus 17 against the Jazz, that was a notable performance because, again, 4 made threes. All of the offense, though, he had the play where he finished on Walker Kessler and had that veteran move where he initiated contact and figured out how to shield himself with his body and still get the ball up over Walker Kessler and convert. All of his offense surprises me. And I know it's the regular season. I know it's early. But I thought this would be much more of a work in progress for the offense than it has been. We saw what he did over Summer League. And I think it's easy to point to Summer League success and kind of become cynical with it and say, well, it's Summer League. I mean, yes, you have some guys that use this performance as a springboard and build something on it. But you also have a decent amount of guys who are driving trucks for UPS after that. Like it's Summer League. Let's see him do it in the regular season. And he's doing it. The biggest area where I was skeptical that we would see impact from Marjon was with the rotation and the depth. And I was quick to point to, look, I hope it works out this season. But this is basically going to be a redshirt season. You have Wesley Matthews, you have Pat Connaughton, you have Joe Ingles, you have Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Giannis. Jordan Wara was playing in front of him early in the season. You have all these guys, the point being, all these guys, and Grayson Allen, by the way, that play basically the same position or are interchangeable enough that you can get by with other groupings that are going to be in front of Marjon. We all want it to work out for him. The numbers just aren't in his favor. Well, he has started to really, really make you rethink that. And I think what we've seen recently, him being in the starting lineup, we're not seeing Jordan Wara. We're seeing Marjon Beauchamp, and I think it's easy to point to the flu that he dealt with and the weight that he lost. He wasn't playing after that. I think it's pretty evident because they wanted him to bulk back up and get back into shape and put some of that weight back on. And now that he has, he's out there, and he clearly has earned the trust of Coach Mike Budenholzer. I did ask one question on another show I was on earlier in the week, and we'll get to this a little bit later on in this week as well. I think it's something to save for Friday night, but I'll preview that question and wrap up the show next on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation.
Talk. DMJ. A good.
All right, another impressive performance tonight from Marjon Beauchamp. I'm going to be curious to see if it's Marjon Beauchamp starting against the Brooklyn Nets on Friday, or if we see Chris Middleton back, because he was out, then he was upgraded to doubtful tonight, still didn't play, but just moving from out to doubtful is a good sign. I am going to go on a limb and say, at the very least, we will see Chris on Christmas Day against the Boston Celtics. But his absence means even more opportunities for Marjon Beauchamp, who once again made the most of them tonight with a pretty solid game starting alongside of Giannis. The question that I have to pose, we will do this on Friday night, and I'll just give you this teaser. It includes Marjon Beauchamp, and it includes another first-round pick from 4 years ago. Question about what we saw early in that young then Bucks player's career. So we'll do a little bit of a comparison for the two players Friday night following the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. Again, that game is a 6:30 tip. So our Bucks radio network coverage with me and Dave Cannell gets started at 6 o'clock on Friday night. And as always, you can join us on these airwaves for Bucks Talk immediately after the game. We expect that show to get started at around 9:30 on Friday night. But my thanks to Tommy Wirtz, to Max Meyerson, to our Madison station as well, and Ryan Wollersheim for producing out there. My thanks to all of them for helping keep this on the air, and all of you for listening as well. Talk to you Friday night with more Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Well, a disappointing loss. Not a disappointing finish, though. The result is disappointing, but what we saw in those final 3 minutes, certainly not disappointing. The Bucks made it close, closer than it should have been, but ultimately falling short to the Cavs in Cleveland, 114 to 106. If you would have surveyed any of us prior to the three-minute mark in the fourth quarter, we would probably have something little bit further back in the game. Maybe it occurred in the opening quarter, but little did we know the turning point of the game would actually occur much later. Tonight's turning point of the game.
The moment it all turned around, for better or worse. This is the turning point of the game.
Way outside, up to Mitchell. This is way downtown, and he banks it in from about 32 feet away. Here's a half-court heave now up to Holiday. Holiday banks it in, almost from the same spot where Mitchell banked one in moments before.
So again, that seemed to somewhat propel the Bucks. It gave them more life. You're making this charge, got it to 16. You think, all right, we can build on this. It was 18 at halftime, not ideal to only shave two off. It's also not suboptimal, but it's not ideal. And then you get that three-pointer, and you think, we lost ground, and then Drew Holiday, an even deeper three. So you're right back to 16. It gave you some life. Took another 9 minutes, but the Bucks kept chipping away and ultimately made this much, much closer than, as we said, much closer than this frankly should have been, because the Cavs played incredibly well for most of that first half, for really most of the first three plus quarters of the game, and the Bucks were the exact opposite. They did not play that well. Still right back in this at the very, very end. I promise we will talk about Marjon Beauchamp, but to get back to that Pat Connaughton point, in his last three games, made six threes, so it's starting to move closer and closer and closer to what we expected to see from Pat. And I think the most deceiving thing, or surprising thing, I should say, about Pat's numbers so far this season is, you know, we've talked a decent amount about, man, the shot just not there yet. Not falling like we've typically seen from Pat Connaughton, the outside shot, that is. Coming into play tonight, hit six games already where he hit multiple threes. Very surprising, right? But in the last three games, Pat Connaughton is 6 of 11 on his threes. So again, small sample size theater here, but it does seem like he's starting to find that stroke, starting to build on that for our boy, Pat Connaughton. So that's a good sign for the Bucks. And of course, as we mentioned, Pat Connaughton, our sub of the game tonight. Now, one player that I'll be curious to see how many times he's the sub of the game when Chris Middleton returns. He is not eligible for that because we've seen two straight games now of Marjon Beauchamp in the starting lineup for the Bucks. And I got to tell you, as much as I almost took the victory lap on the Brooklyn Nets, and still three quarters of a season, well, what, like 55% of a season left, I should say, 60% of a season left on the Brooklyn Nets and their start, I was very wrong on Marjon Beauchamp. Not that I didn't want success for Marjon. I think we all were very wait and see about the offense. The offense continues to blow me away in how natural he looks, especially that shooting motion. Had the 4-of-7 game on threes against the Jazz. This is three straight games where Marjon Beauchamp has knocked down multiple threes. So he was 3-of-5 tonight. He was 2-of-4 against the Pelicans. He was 4-of-7 against the Jazz, as we just mentioned. 9-of-16 in his last three games. The shot looks good. He does not look lost. He knows where to be. He has the athleticism and the length to make up for it anytime he's not in the right spot. And, you know, if we go back to that Jazz game, I think you saw a lot in that game. He was a plus 17. And the plus minus is not the best indication of what worked and what didn't, right? But Marjon Beauchamp has had some of these games where the plus minus just jumps off the page. You think back to the stretch where he was really starting to get used a lot more. He had the big breakout game against the T-Wolves, and then on night two of a back-to-back, he gets the start. Only made one field goal in that game against the Thunder. But he was a plus 12, and the Bucks won by 14. He had to play extensively against the Spurs. He got another start against the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road, where the Bucks basically had no one. He was a plus 14 in that game, and the Bucks won by 4. And that's where the offense started to take off. That's when he knocked down 5 threes, which at the time was a career high. What he's done the last few games, plus 17 against the Jazz, that was a notable performance because, again, 4 made threes. All of the offense, though, he had the play where he finished on Walker Kessler and had that veteran move where he initiated contact and figured out how to shield himself with his body and still get the ball up over Walker Kessler and convert. All of his offense surprises me. And I know it's the regular season. I know it's early. But I thought this would be much more of a work in progress for the offense than it has been. We saw what he did over Summer League. And I think it's easy to point to Summer League success and kind of become cynical with it and say, well, it's Summer League. I mean, yes, you have some guys that use this performance as a springboard and build something on it. But you also have a decent amount of guys who are driving trucks for UPS after that. It's Summer League. Let's see him do it in the regular season. And he's doing it. The biggest area where I was skeptical that we would see impact from Marjon was with the rotation and the depth. And I was quick to point to, look, I hope it works out this season. But this is basically going to be a redshirt season. You have Wesley Matthews, you have Pat Connaughton, you have Joe Ingles, you have Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Giannis. Jordan Wara was playing in front of him early in the season. You have all these guys, the point being, all these guys, and Grayson Allen, by the way, that play basically the same position or are interchangeable enough that you can get by with other groupings that are going to be in front of Marjon. We all want it to work out for him. The numbers just aren't in his favor. Well, he has started to really, really make you rethink that. And I think what we've seen recently, him being in the starting lineup, we're not seeing Jordan Wara. We're seeing Marjon Beauchamp, and I think it's easy to point to the flu that he dealt with and the weight that he lost. He wasn't playing after that. I think it's pretty evident because they wanted him to bulk back up and get back into shape and put some of that weight back on. And now that he has, he's out there. And he clearly has earned the trust of Coach Mike Budenholzer. I did ask one question on another show I was on earlier in the week, and we'll get to this a little bit later on in this week as well. I think it's something to save for Friday night, but I'll preview that question and wrap up the show next on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation.
DMJ.
A good...
All right, another impressive performance tonight from Marjon Beauchamp. I'm going to be curious to see if it's Marjon Beauchamp starting against the Brooklyn Nets on Friday or if we see Chris Middleton back, because he was out, then he was upgraded to doubtful tonight, still didn't play, but just moving from out to doubtful is a good sign. I am going to go on a limb and say at the very least we will see Chris on Christmas Day against the Boston Celtics. But his absence means even more opportunities for Marjon Beauchamp, who once again made the most of them tonight with a pretty solid game starting alongside of Giannis. The question that I have to pose, we will do this on Friday night, and I'll just give you this teaser. It includes Marjon Beauchamp, and it includes another first-round pick from 4 years ago. Question about what we saw early in that young then Bucks player's career. So we'll do a little bit of a comparison for the two players Friday night following the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. Again, that game is a 6:30 tip. So our Bucks Radio Network coverage with me and Dave Kane will get started at 6 o'clock on Friday night. And as always, you can join us on these airwaves for Bucks Talk immediately after the game. We expect that show to get started at around 9:30 on Friday night. But my thanks to Tommy Wirtz, to Max Meyerson, to our Madison station as well, and Ryan Wollersheim for producing out there. My thanks to all of them for helping keep this on the air, and all of you for listening as well. Talk to you Friday night with more Bucks Talk.